Okay, so we're back in the book of Daniel, and this is Daniel chapter 6, and this is a story that many of us know about Daniel in the lion's den. But you know what? When we get to be adults, the story has a lot more meaning to it than, you know, just the Daniel in the lion's den story that we learned in Bekash Bible School. So we're going to talk about it. Darius was the king here, and he appointed 120 satraps to rule throughout the kingdom with three administrators over them, one of whom was Daniel. These are like governors, people who are ruling the country. And there's 120 of them, but there's three head dudes. And Daniel got picked to be one of the head dudes, okay? And then it says in verse 6:3, now Daniel is so distinguished himself among the administrators and the satraps by his exceptional qualities that the king planned to set him over the whole nation. All right, Daniel's about 80 years old here. He is wise. He is loyal. He has learned a lot. God has blessed him. Remember that Daniel is still in exile in this country. Remember Nebuchadnezzar all those years ago wiped all those people up. And Daniel has never been so forth as set free, right? He's still in a country that wasn't his country. And he is still working with excellence. And because he is working with excellence, the king, this new king, decides, hey, I like Daniel, and I'm going to give him a big place. Well, that ticked everybody else off. Now, here we go off on the Beth version. Okay, this is Beth 101 here. Ticks everybody else off, and they're like, dude, I don't like this Daniel guy. He's just always winning, and we're going to find something wrong with him. So they searched and looked and searched and looked, couldn't find a thing wrong with Daniel, because Daniel worked with excellence. He did his job with excellence, because he worked, like the Bible says, to glorify the Lord, not for man. And because of that, he worked with excellence, because he was trying to be excellent in the Lord. So they go on to say in verse 5, we will never find any basis for charges against this man, Daniel, unless it has something to do with the law of his God. So they're like, okay, look here. We can't get him any other way. We're going to take him down on his faith. Y'all, that's very similar to what we're doing here in this world. People don't like a conservative thought out in this world, so they're going to attack all Christians. We're seeing the same thing. History is it has a way of repeating itself, and it has always been that case where you stand up for what's right, you're a Christian, and somebody's coming at you like, oh, I don't want you to prosper. I mean, look how many people are after Chick-fil-A, right? They're always trying to take down Chick-fil-A. Chick-fil-A works with excellence, always wants to serve you, has good food, all these morals, and they shut down on Sunday so people can go to church, and the world is flipping out. Okay, that was a side one. That was for free. Okay, so we get back over here. And so these administrators and everything that want to tear down Daniel, they go run into the king and they're like, hey, king, hey, how about you set forth a decree that everybody has to worship you for 30 days? Okay, so they're playing to Darius's big old vanity. Okay, he's prideful and he's like, oh, me? Oh, yeah. Okay, well, the deal was the Medes and the Persians, if a king decreed something, that was that. Even the king couldn't change it. All right, so if the king says this the rule, even if he decides later, I don't like that rule, too bad. You made the rule, and this is the rule. So they went to him and said, hey, do this. Well, why'd they do that? Because they knew that Daniel prayed to God three times a day. So they're like, huh, we'll get Daniel smashed up in that lion's den. Now, that was a thing back then. They used lions, you know, to eat people. And anyway, you can look all that up. So, of course, the king, not thinking and being prideful and thinking that'd be fun for everybody to worship me, sets this decree in stone. You know, I mean, that's not really in stone, but you know what I mean? He sets forth this decree, which makes it unchangeable. And, you know, those guys are over there like, woohoo, we won, you know. So he puts it in writing and they remind him, look, that cannot be repealed. And then it says in verse 10, now when Daniel learned that the decree had been published, he went home to his upstairs room where the windows opened towards Jerusalem three times a day. He got down on his knees and prayed, giving thanks to God, just as he had done before. So there's a lesson. He always prayed three times a day, at least three times a day. And he didn't just pray. He got on his knees and prayed and gave thanks. He didn't go up there and say, hey, Lord, can you save me from this and fix me on that? And here's my grocery list and amen. Okay. He got down on his knees three times a day and thanked the Lord. If you don't get anything else out of this whole chapter, get that. Okay. Then these dudes see him praying and they, you know, get all twisted out of shape and they go to the king and they're like, look here, king, you know, Daniel, you know, when you exiles your big buddy there, he don't pay any attention to you, O king. And he prays three times a day, and he ain't praying to you. Well, this upset Darius, the king, because Darius actually liked Daniel, and he didn't mean to set forth this decree to mess up Daniel. So he was determined in his heart to rescue Daniel, and he did everything he could to and up until sundown to save him. And then the men went as a group to the king and said, hey, this is the law of the Medes and the Persians. You set forth this, and that's done. So the king gave the order, and they brought Daniel and threw him into the lion's den. The king said to Daniel, may your God, whom you serve continually, rescue you. A stone was brought and placed over the mouth of the den, and the king sealed it with his own signet ring and with the rings of his nobles so that Daniel's situation might be changed. Then the king returned to his palace and spent the night without eating and without any entertainment being brought to him, for he could not sleep. He was stressed out, folks. Now, this something about that verse caught my attention, and I am no Bible scholar, but I'm just going to say this. I think it's interesting that a stone was brought and placed over the mouth of the den. There was a stone placed over the mouth of another tomb in a different place in the Bible. So if you think about the correlation here, it's like, okay, he's been put in this tomb or den, and there's a rock placed on it so he cannot get out by his own hands. It would have to be the hands of mighty people or God. And the same thing was what they did with Jesus's body. He was put in a tomb, and a stone was rolled, and everybody's like, okay, he can't get out. And then, much to their surprise, the stone was rolled away. So I don't know if God did that on purpose, but I thought it was cool. So I thought I'd just point that out. I'm sure you could do some deep study and find some cool stuff on that. Then the king returned, and, you know, he didn't eat, and he was all stressed out, and he couldn't sleep. And at the first light of dawn, he got up and hurried to the lion's den. When he came near the den, he called to Daniel in an anguished voice, Daniel, servant of the living God, has your God, whom you serve continually, been able to rescue you from the lions? And in verse 21, Daniel answered, O king, live forever. My God sent his angel, and he shut the mouths of the lion. They have not hurt me because I was found innocent in his sight, nor have I ever done anything wrong to you, O king. The king was overjoyed and gave orders for them to lift Daniel out of the lion's den. And when they pulled him out, there was no wound found on him because he had trusted in God. Then all those dudes that like falsely accused Daniel and got him in all that trouble to begin with, those kings back then, they didn't play. Man, if our government was as tough as they were back then, they just snatched those people up and their families and their children and chunked them in the lion's den. And before their bodies even hit the ground, they'd all been smushed up and eaten, and that's gross. Okay, but it's a thing. Okay, and you know what? That goes to show that there are repercussions for bad actions. And if you've ever had a job where you were doing really well, and then all of a sudden you were going to get a promotion, and everybody got their panties in a bunch and complained about you and spread false lies on you, and maybe that happened in a work situation, maybe it happened in school, wherever it happened, it happens. People get jealous, and when they get jealous, they do ugly things. And that's what happened to Daniel. They were jealous of him, and that jealousy led him to be put in a position, but it also led them to be put to death themselves. And, you know, Daniel was so good about just staying faithful to the Lord. I mean, the Lord has saved him every time. So why would he think the Lord wouldn't save him this time? And he, you know, Daniel was faithful to be thankful, even in those bad times. And he never, like, doubted. He was just like, okay, the Lord's going to do it. And if the Lord doesn't, that's okay, too, you know. And there's a lot to be learned from Daniel. And he's 80 years old. Y'all, seriously, 80 years old. And me at 80 years old, I'm going to get chunked into a lion's den. And I'm just going to die just from the fall because I'm 80. You know what I'm saying? I mean, he was strong in the Lord here. And then, you know, let's go back and look, too. He was an exile all this time. An exile in this country. He's 80 years old. He has worked for all these different kings. And he's not even bitter. Yo, I think I'd have my panties in a bunch if I had still been in exile, if I had been abducted as a teenager, and now I'm 80 years old and I'm still living in a foreign country. I mean, you'd kind of think, I'd kind of like to go back and see where I came from. I'd like to go back to my own house, thank you very much. But, you know, he wasn't even bitter over that. So he had a lot of places in here where he could have been bitter, scared, flipped out, whatever, and he's just rolling along. I'm just chunking in the lion's den, and God's going to shut the mouth of the lion. That's cool stuff, okay? And then after Darius sees all this and throws those people in the lion's den, then he gets up in front of everybody and says, "May you prosper greatly. I issue a decree that in every part of my kingdom, people must fear and reverence the God of Daniel, for he is the living God and he endures forever. His kingdom will not be destroyed. His dominion will never end. He rescues and he saves. He performs signs and wonders in the heavens and on the earth. He has rescued Daniel from the power of the lions. So Daniel prospered during the reign of Darius and the reign of Cyrus, the Persian who came next." So, you know, if you look at that, "For he is the living God, he endures forever," that whole little section, you'll find that back over there when King Nebuchadnezzar was talking in chapter 3. Those kings might not, they might have been pagan kings, they might not have been Christians, but they did recognize, okay, when God shows up and does a miracle, we best be talking about it, okay? Even as pagans, non-Christians, they recognize the power of God. So we as Christians want to recognize the power of the Lord and give him due credit. You know, Darius went from being prideful and wanting everybody to worship him in the beginning of this story to the end of this story going, okay, y'all need to be worshiping God because he just shut the mouth of the lion. Ain't nobody up in here able to do that. So that's some good stuff, right? So lots of different things that you can glean from this. I do these so quickly. I recommend that you go back and read them. And just remember that Daniel had joy where he was, that jealousy set in with the other people, and those people that were jealous and acted out of jealousy, they ended in death. And then, you know, King Darius had all that pride, but his pride was taken away when he almost lost Daniel. And then he had enough sense to praise the Lord. And then, you know, trust in God when all seems lost. Y'all, I think if I'd been thrown in lion's den, I don't know if I'd have been trusting like Daniel. I need that kind of faith. I don't know about you, but I need that kind of faith. And just remember that lion led to nine. So when those fellows were lying on him, God whooped their tail in the end. Okay. So we look around and we see other people and we think, gosh, they're prospering. Even when they do bad, in the end, they don't win. Okay. It might look like they're doing good now, but it's going to get them in the end. And then just remember that, you know, Darius did issue that decree. So he even started to call on the name of the Lord and recognize that the Lord is the Lord. So I pray you will have a great day in the Lord. Keep the jealousy away, keep the pride away, and stay out of the lion's den.